Good morning, so nice to see all of you. Rosh Hashanah is a strange mix of emotions. The day is almost schizophrenic. Even the melodies of the chazan cascade up and down an emotional roller coaster. The piercing sound of the shofar paralyzes in the unetana tokef, the emotional climax of the musaf. We evoke the fear of the day and exclaim, Malachim Yechafezun, Chil Urada Yochezun, Hinei Yom Hadin. Angels will hasten. A trembling and terror will seize them. They are paralyzed. Behold, it is the day of judgment. And we reflect on how life is temporary, fleeting, how man is fragile, vulnerable, how there's so much uncertainty. And then we wish each other a Shana Tova, a Kut Yantif, a Chag Sameach, before going home to dip apples in honey and eat a festive meal. How should we feel on Rosh Hashanah? Is it a day of fear and trembling, a day of awe, a day of judgment, or is it a festival? The answer is, and we'll see together this morning, it's both. And this very tension, it's very dialectic, is expressed in the halacha. And here I'll put up on the screen a number of sources that we'll explore together, which grapple with the very nature and very essence of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Trust you can all see the sources. So we'll begin with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Bet. Now, after telling us that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur meet the criteria of a festival on which you'd say Hallel, the Gemara relates the following. A conversation, kivyachol, in the Beis Din Shalmaila, in the heavenly court, the Pamalia Shalmaila, a conversation that takes place between Hashem and the ministering angels, kibyachol. Amar Rabbi Abahu said, Amru malachai asharet lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, or the ministering angels asked Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, mipnei ma ein Yisrael umim shira lefanecha, b'rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim? Why don't the Jewish people say Shira? Why don't they sing out to you? Why don't they recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? Amar Lahem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol says to them, Eshar Melech Yoshev al Kisei Din? Is it possible that the king is sitting on the throne of judgment? V'sifrei Chayim V'sifrei Meitim P'tuchim Lefanav. And the books of life and the books of death are open before him? V'Yisrael Omim Shira? And the Jewish people should sing Shira, they should recite Hallel. In other words, it's pasnished. It's inappropriate. It doesn't work with the theme of the day, the tone of the day, when life is hanging in the balance. And the Rambam, in his Perush HaMishnah, he emphasizes this and writes here in source number 2, very succinctly, V'ein ra'ui b'matzavim ke'ele, Lismoch ulasis. It's not appropriate in this situation or in these situations, meaning on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we're being judged, when Hashem is sitting in judgment, it's inappropriate, lismoch ulasis, to celebrate and rejoice. In other words, life is hanging in the balance. How can we sing? How can we recite Hallel? There's so much uncertainty. And I think that's especially relevant this year when there is so much uncertainty. We just don't know what's going to be in this upcoming year. We don't know what Tav Shin Pei Aleph is going to look like. Unfortunately, Tav Shin Pei has not been very good. The pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, so many people sick. Unfortunately, so many people died, succumbed to this awful illness. And we just don't know what's going to be. And there's political and civil unrest in a lot of places in the world. Racial tensions are high in the United States and other places as well. Right now there are wildfires raging in California. There's so much unknown. There's so much uncertainty. Life is fragile. Man is vulnerable. And on Rosh Hashanah, our life is literally hanging in the balance, the Gemara says. And therefore, it's not appropriate to sing Shira, to recite Hallel. On the other hand, we have sources that seem to indicate that Rosh Hashanah is a day to be celebrated, that it's a chag like our other chagim, and that there's even a mitzvah of simcha, of v'samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice on Rosh Hashanah. And we'll look together now at two sources that articulate this, that express the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. Two sources that a lot of the posts can draw upon. The first is from the Tanakh. It's from Nehemiah, Perek Chet, chapter 8. And Nehemiah, or Ezra and Nehemiah, of course, lead the Jewish people back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. We've spoken in the past about the Shivat Tzion, the return to Zion in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and all of the challenges they faced, but also the triumphs. And they lead this heroic effort, this Herculean effort, not just to restore the Jewish nation physically to the land, to supplant them on their ancestral land, on their soil, but it's also a spiritual renaissance. They restore them spiritually. And so Ezra and Nehemiah describe how the Jewish people had assimilated, had intermarried. At the beginning of Nehemiah, Perek Chet, and by the way, Ezra and Nehemiah used to be one sefer, but Nehemiah Perek Chet begins that on the first of the seventh month, which is, of course, what? Rosh Hashanah. On the first of the seventh month, Ezra gathers the Jewish people who had ascended with him to Bavel, and he reads from the Torah for them. And they begin, as the Navi describes, to weep and to cry and to mourn and to fast. And Ezra and Nehemiah and the Jewish leadership tell them, don't cry, don't mourn, don't fast. Today is a day that's supposed to be celebrated. So take a look at source number three. This is the response of Nehemiah and Ezra and Levine, the Jewish leadership. They write the following. Vayomer Nehemiah, hu hatirshata, that was his title in Persian. The Ezra HaKohen, HaSofer, Ezra the Kohen, the scribe. The Halvi'im HaMivinim et Ha'am, Lechol Ha'am. This is what they say to them. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Levim. Okay. Hayom Kadosh Hu LaHashem. This is what they tell the entire nation. Today is a holy day, LaHashem Elokeichem, to Hashem your God. Because today, the first day of the seventh month, is Rosh Hashanah. Al Tintablu, do not mourn. Al Tivku, and do not cry, do not weep. Ki bochim kolam, ki shamam et divrei haTorah. Because the entire nation was weeping and crying when they heard the words of the Torah. The Torah was so foreign to them. They had strayed so far from the Torah. They had assimilated to such a degree. They call intermarriage, and intermarriage had been rampant during the approximately a century in which the Jewish people were in Bavel. And this, of course, is something that plagues us even until today. They call it the sin of the exile. How true. And Ezra and Nehemiah call out families that had intermarried and Kohanim that had intermarried. So the Jewish people had assimilated to such a degree in Bavel that the words of the Torah were so foreign, they began to weep and cry and mourn. And so Ezra and Nehemiah and Levim tell them, don't cry, don't weep, don't mourn. Vayomer lahem, and they said to them, Lechu ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim, eat fatty, rich foods, and drink sweet drinks. Vishilchu manot le'en nachon lo, and send portions to those who had not prepared foods. Ki kadosh hayom la'adonenu, because today is a holy day to our God, to Hashem. Ve'al te'atzevu. And do not be sad. And this is so powerful. Listen to how the pasuk ends. Ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uschem. Hashem's joy, chedvat Hashem hi ma'uschem, is your strength. Hashem's joy is your strength. What does that mean? What that means is by you celebrating, by you rejoicing, by you experiencing joy, you want to know what? That gives Hashem joy. That gives Hashem joy. Chedvat Hashem hi ma'uschem. The pasuk doesn't relate to the people's joy. It relates to Hashem's joy. Because you celebrating on Rosh Hashanah provides Hashem with joy. It's such a powerful idea. Next, we'll take a look at another source that many of the poskim cite in debating and deliberating over and describing how there is a mitzvah of simcha even on Rosh Hashanah, even when our fate hangs in the balance. And this is in Yerushalmi. Very famous passage in Yerushalmi. Here in source number 4. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yoshua Chadamar. Eizo uma k'uma hazot. Who is like this nation? Mi ke'amcha Yisrael. Binohag sheba'olam. Typically, the way of the world is as follows. Adam yodea sheyesh lo din. An individual who knows that he has to stand trial. He has a court case. He has to stand in judgment. Lovesh shchorim, umitatef shchorim, umigadel zekano. He dresses in black. He wraps himself in black. He lets his beard grow long. These, of course, are customs of mourning. She'eino yodea hech dino yotze. For he does not know what the verdict will be, what the outcome will be. In other words, he mourns as an expression of his uncertainty. Aval Yisrael einan ken. The Gemara here says, but the Jewish people are not like that. We're different. Ela lovshim levanim. When we stand in judgment, we wear white. Umitatfin levanim. And we wrap ourselves in white. Umigalchim zekana. And we trim our beards. We take a haircut before Rosh Hashanah. We want to look nice. And this is key. Ve'ochlin, v'shotin u'smechim. They eat, they drink, and they rejoice. Yodim, for they know she'hakodosh baruch hu oseh lahem nisim. They know, they are confident that Hashem will provide miracles for them, meaning that Hashem will forgive them. This is an expression of our confidence going into the Yom HaDin, going into the Day of Judgment. So, on the one hand, we saw a passage from the Bavli expressing uncertainty. We can't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah because we just don't know what's going to be. And here, a passage from the Yerushalmi, which says, no, we have to eat and drink and celebrate because we are confident going into Rosh Hashanah that Hashem is going to forgive us. Okay, so we seem to have these conflicting passages. So what's the answer? What's the answer? What is Rosh Hashanah? And we'll see that the answer is that it's really both. It's both a day to be celebrated, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to go overboard. Can't go in with hubris. We have to be confident, and that confidence is expressed by eating and drinking and celebrating. We can't go overboard because it still is the Yom HaDin. Okay? So let's take a look at some more sources. This is the Rosh in his comments to the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. And it's a parallel passage in the Mordechai. Now, the Mordechai and the Rosh were chavrusas. They studied together in Germany before the Rosh fled to Spain. Mordechai, unfortunately, was murdered al Kiddush Hashem. He was martyred. And this passage, it describes how some had the custom, and this is recorded by Gaoni Bavel, the Gaonim in Bavel, some had the custom that in the tefillah for Rosh Hashanah, they would use expressions like Moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, in describing the Yom HaZikaron, like we do on the Regalim, when there is clearly a mitzvah of simcha, of v'samachta b'chagecha. And so the Rosh, in that context, begins trying to define the very essence and nature of Rosh Hashanah. And he also grapples with the question, is it permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Because there were those who would fast on Rosh Hashanah. Some would fast on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And this also is recorded by the Gaon. So take a look at source number 5. It's the following. Where I've underlined. Aval b'tshuvat Mar Sar Shalom katuv. Rosh Hashanah hayu omrim b'shtei yeshivot. Mar Sar Shalom records that on Rosh Hashanah they would say in the two yeshivot, the two major academies in Bavel, Sura and Pumbedita, ben b'tfilah ben b'kiddushah mo'adim l'simcha chagim uzmanim l'sason, et Yom HaZikaron zeh. They would describe the Yom HaZikaron like a festival. Mo'adim l'simcha chagim uzmanim l'sason, which is what we do in the liturgy of the Shalosh Regalim. Shehare katuv ela mo'adei Hashem bereishinina, because Rosh Hashanah is found in the Torah together with the other Moadim, in the Parashat HaMoadot, or Moadim. Eilam Moadei Hashem, it says, these are the festivals, the holy convocations to God. And then it continues and includes Rosh Hashanah as well. U'basof inyana v'yidaber Moshet Moadei Hashem. And then at the end, also mentions the Moadei Hashem, and Rosh Hashanah is lumped in together with the other festivals. The Ka'ei, and again, you have Pesach and Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, and they're all there together in the parasha of the Moadim, and they are called Moadei Hashem Mikra'i Kodesh. They are festivals to God, holy convocations. Uktiv Zichron Trua Mikra'i Kodesh. And the Torah calls Rosh Hashanah Zichron Trua a mikra kodesh, a holy convocation, just like the other festivals. I'm just skipping a line to our underline next. He quotes the Mishnah that the Beit Din would send out messengers to inform people about upcoming holidays, to tell them when the Rosh Chodesh was. And the Mishnah says that they would send messengers out in advance of Rosh Hashanah, in Elul, in advance of Rosh Hashanah. So why is that? Minayin shenikra chag shenemar bakesta liyom chagein. We have this pasuk which we'll say here, Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Tiku b'chodesh shofar bakesta liyom chagein refers to Rosh Hashanah as a chag. So Rosh Hashanah, again, we see is a chag. It's together with the other moadim, with the other festivals in the Torah. The Beit Din in Yerushalayim would send out messengers. And as the Gemara explains, it's called a chag in this pasuk in Tehillim, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, the day of our chag, our celebrating, our festival. U'minayin shenikra simcha. So how do we know that there's a reference to Rosh Hashanah as a day of simcha? How Rosh Hashanah is called a day of celebrating and rejoicing? Shenemar u'biyom simchatchem u'b'moadeichem u'v'roshei chodsheichem v'amar mar. So we have this verse which describes days of our rejoicing and our festivals and our new months. And the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Nunhei says that that is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so you see that Rosh Hashanah also has an element of Simcha just like the other festivals. It's lumped together with the festivals. It's called a festival. And now it's called a day of rejoicing, a day of Simcha. V'gam b'sefer Ezra matzim. And similarly, the verse that we just saw in the book of Ezra, or now it's in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Shayu bochim b'shuvam min ha'gola. The Jewish people were crying when they returned from the exile. V'amar lahem Ezra, and Ezra, and Nehemiah, and the Levim say to them, ki kadosh hayom l'adonenu. Today is a holy day to Hashem. V'amar, and they said, or he said, eat fatty, rich foods, drink sweet drinks. And I think this is really beautiful. I put it in bold. That the Rosh he gives a little perush on what Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Jewish leadership are telling them. Not just to eat and drink, because today is a festival, but dafka, today is Rosh Hashanah. So eat fatty, rich foods, drink sweet drinks, dip apples in honey, right? Why? In order that this year be fat, be rich, and sweet for you. The Rosh is saying, he's giving a peirush, and he's explaining that it's not just that they told him, no, you can't fast today. You have to eat, you have to celebrate. It's more than that. They told him, eat fatty foods, drink sweet drinks, because it's Rosh Hashanah. For the Rosh, this is the source to eat fatty, rich foods and drink sweet drinks and eat sweet things and dipping apples in honey, because you want the year to be a sweet new year. So the Rosh is connecting this passage with, let's call it what we call the Simane Milta, the signs, the special foods that we eat on Rosh Hashanah, and ask Hashem for a sweet new year. It's not just eat and drink and enjoy. No, no, no. Eat rich foods, drink sweet drinks. We want you to have, the Rosh says, a rich year, a sweet year. And send gifts. The rabbis, Chazal, and the Gemara in Beit Sandaf Tedvav, they darshan that l'mi shelo hiniach eruvei tavshilin. This is a hint, an allusion to the eruv tavshilin. This is maybe an asmachta to the eruv tavshilin. Okay. Upshatol shel mikra, the pshat of that verse is l'mi shehaya bedato litanot me'etmo. Send foods to those who didn't prepare, meaning those who intended to fast because of the morning, because they were so upset when hearing the words of Torah. V'lo hichin lo ma'achal, and they didn't make food for themselves. And here the Rosh says, mikan, from here, and this is how he paskins, she'en mitanim b'Rosh Hashanah. From here, we see that it's not appropriate to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We do not fast on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Akiva says that, this is a Yerushalmi, that we call Rosh Hashanah a day of Truah, a day of blasts. Yom Truah Yelachem, says in the Torah. It shall be a day of true blasts for you. So it's this play on words. Mitrein, we blow the shofar, we blow the truah, below mitanin, and we do not fast. The perik sheni, the masechet arachin, second chapter of arachin, it says there, amrin and the Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim, ikru moed. As we said before, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called moedim, they're called festivals. They are lumped together in the Torah in the Parashat HaMoedim. Ubisota, in the Gemara Maseches Sota, Gabei Parashat HaMelech, Kamar, Iktav Rachmana B'moed, Hav Amina Rosh Hashanah, Ikri Moed. Just another source from the Talmud that Rosh Hashanah is referred to as a festival. I'm just skipping to the bottom. V'Rav Hai Katav, Ein Minhag Lomar Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, V'Chin Megat Pashut Bizman Hazeh B'Chol HaMekomot. The discussion began with whether or not you should refer to Rosh Hashanah as a festival in the liturgy with the same formulation as we employ on the Regalim, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason. So he says that Rav Haigon ruled that that is not the minhag, and that is the prevalent minhag, that's how we paskin. But Ube Ashkenaz v'Tzarfat Noagim Shelo Lomar V'Asiyenu B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur B'Shar Mekumot Omim Oto. So you see that different minhagim as to the tefillah and the nusach tefillah. Why? Where does that come from? Because in addition to being the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, Rosh Hashanah, as we've seen, is also called a festival. Ulitanot b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbat shebein Rosh Hashanah l'Yom Kippurim. Now, going back to that discussion about fasting on Rosh Hashanah, or here he mentions also on Shabbos Shuvah, Hachi Amar, Rav Nitronai Gon, B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Rosh Hashanah, Yev Shar Leishev Bo B'Ta'anit, Mishum Demidoraita Hu. Aval biyom tov sheni u'shabbat leidbu kushya mishum da'asara yomei inun mishumim mikol yomot hashana. Quotes Rav Yitronai Gaon, it says he can't fast on the first day. Some fasted on the first day, not the second day. Some fasted on the second day, not the first day. Some fasted on both. He ruled you can't fast on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because the first day is min ha-Torah. The first day is biblical in nature. But the second day already you can. Why? Because the second day is part of the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva. And he writes that these 10 days are different than the rest of the days of the year. Okay, now that is significant. Historically, there were those who fasted during the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva, during the 10 days of repentance. I mean, who can eat? Okay. Now, we have this custom to begin Slichot at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. We begin at the Motzei Shabbat prior to Rosh Hashanah. There are reasons why we start on Motzei Shabbat, but there has to be at least 4 days before. So many people are familiar with the reason why, because you need to evaluate and investigate and check an offering before you bring it. At least 4 days, you have to ensure that the animal is blemish-free. And similarly, we come before Hashem like an offering, and we have to check ourselves and make sure that we are blemish-free. That's a nice idea that many bring in explaining why Slichot begins, at least for us Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Eidot HaMizrach begin already with Rosh Chodesh, but that's a famous explanation as to why at least us Ashkenazim begin at least 4 days. You can ask 4 days, what's significant about 4 days? It seems kind of arbitrary. It has to be at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. So if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday or a Monday, I don't think it can fall on a Sunday. It falls out on Monday, Tuesday. So then you need to begin the Motzei Shabbat before. So you have over a week of Slichot because you need to have at least 4 days, right? So again, some say because we come before Hashem like a korban, and you need at least 4 days to examine the korban to make sure. Or ensure that it is blemish-free, and we want to make sure that we are blemish-free. Nice idea. But the real reason why we begin at least 4 days is to allow for those who had the custom to fast all 10 days to fast, because there are 4 days when you are not allowed to fast. Okay, even though some fast on Rosh Hashanah, we paskin that halacha l'maaseh, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, we'll see this in a moment. So you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right, where you can't fast. You have Shabbat Shuva, or Shabbos Shuva, when you can't fast. And you have Erev Yom Kippur when you can't fast, because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So it works out that you have 4 days when you can't fast during the Aseret Yemei Shuva. But those who are accustomed to fast, they want to be mashlim. They want to make up those 4 days. So what do? You fast 4 days prior, okay? And then you have 10. So you want to say slichot together with fasting, right? Because as you know, whenever we have a fast day, we say slichot. Slichot and fast days are intimately connected. So that's why the custom developed among Ashkenazim to say slichot at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, so that people could say slichot and fast together with those slichot. Say slichot and fast 4 days, because there are 4 days during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva when you cannot fast. However, according to Rav Yitronai Gaon here, you can fast on Rosh Hashanah because these 10 days are different. We don't paskin that way, but that's what he writes here. Lefichach, therefore, noagin rabotenu leishev bahen betaniot ben bachol ben b'shabbat. That was the custom. Many had to fast during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, even on Shabbat Shuva. We don't do that nowadays, as I've explained. Continuing in the Rush, such a fascinating passage here. So much to say. Just skipping. V'nir divrei Rav Haigon, shekatav litanot b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, anu roim sheyafehu shel litanot. שכך אמרו פרנסי ישראל, הראשונים לישראל בראש השנה, איכלו מדענים, ושתו ממתקים, כי קדוש היום. So the Rush says, but Rav Hai writes that we find that the Jewish leadership tells the Jews of Bavel, dafka not to fast on Rosh Hashanah. This is the passage that we saw in Ezra, Nehemiah, Perek Chet. וכן בשבת שובה, אין אנו רואים שיתנה אדם, שרי תשע בב, שהוא תנית חמור, לא רצו לקבוע אותו בשבת, אלא דחו אותו. And we don't fast on Shabbos Shuvah. Why? We find that when Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbos, what do? We push it off to Sunday. And Tisha B'Av is a Tanit Chamor. It's a significant fast. We mourn the destruction of the first and second temples and all sorts of calamities that took place throughout Jewish history. And nevertheless, the rabbis, our sages, Chazal, did not want us to fast on Shabbat. So they pushed off, when Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbat, they pushed it off to Sunday. Okay, just skipping. That was also the opinion of Ritzkiat, that these days are called days of repentance, not days of fasting. So there were different customs that are recorded by the Gonim and the Rishonim. This is, as I've written above already, the Rush says, I already expressed the opinion of Mar Sar Shalom. This is the passage in the Yerushalmi that we saw. Rush had or maybe it's the Ravya that he's quoting that had a slightly different girsa, slightly different version from ours, which is not uncommon. It's not uncommon for Rishonim and even for the Rush to have a slightly different version of the Yerushalmi or even the Bavli than we have, especially the Yerushalmi. Amar Rabbi Simon, Ktiv. Kimi goy gadol, who is great like this nation? Look what a great nation this is. Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Yeshua, Chad Amar, Eza umak umazot, Shildat ofya shel Elokea, Binoag shebolam, Sheyesh lodin, Adam sheyesh, Binoag shebolam, Adam sheyesh lodin, Lovesh shchorim, Kaseh shchorim, Megadel zekono. Again, person knows that he's standing in judgment, that he's awaiting trial. He wears black, wraps himself in black, he grows out his beard, doesn't shave, doesn't get a haircut. Veino chotech tzipornav, right? Here in this version they add, he doesn't trim his nails, also a sign of mourning. Custom of Avilut. Lefi sheino yodea ech dino yotzei. He doesn't know how his judgment is going to come out. He doesn't know what the verdict will be. Aval Yisrael einam kein, but the Jewish people are not like this. Lofshim levanim, they wear white, midatim levanim, they wrap themselves in white. We'll see, there was a custom to wear white on Rosh Hashanah. You see many places they wear white on Yom Kippur, but the custom was, I see many in Eretz Yisrael observing this custom until today, that on Rosh Hashanah too they wear white. Umegalchim zekanam, and they trim their beards. Vechotchim tzipornehem, and they trim their nails. Ve'ochlin, ve'shotin, u'smeichin, and they eat and they drink and they rejoice. B'Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. L'fi shodin shakodosh baruch hu oseh lahem nisi. U'matet dinam l'kaf zchut. Right here, in this version, he adds that Hashem will provide miracles for them. He'll forgive them and he will steer their verdict l'kaf zchut. He will judge them favorably. V'korea lahem gzar dinam. Now, this version is even more powerful. And he will tear up the decree. Okay? It's incredible. V'chi'ita nami v'ikra rabba is also quoted in the Medrash, v'ikra rabba. U'b'tshuvat Rav Nachshon Gon oser nami l'itanot v'Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Nachshon Gon forbids fasting on Rosh Hashanah. So the Rosh, very clear, based on these sources, that Rosh Hashanah is a day to celebrate. It's a festival just like the other festivals. There's a mitzvah of simcha, of rejoicing, of celebrating on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. And here, in source number 6, this is how the tour also rules. Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, the tour is the son of the Rosh, Kedarko Bakodesh, often paskins like his father, the Rosh. And here, he just quotes those three powerful words from the Yerushalmi, v'ochlin v'shotin u'smechin, we eat, we drink, we rejoice, on Rosh Hashanah, v'ein litanot bo klal, and we do not fast at all. Not the second day, not the first day, we don't fast. Okay? He quotes a lot of the sources that his father, the Rosh, quoted that we saw above. And this, of course, is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens here in source number 7, in Siman Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin. In Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, Ochlin v'shotin u'smechin, v'ein mitanim b'Rosh Hashanah v'lo b'Shabbat Shuvah. We don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. We don't fast on Shabbos Shuvah. Instead, we eat, we drink, and we rejoice. However, this is important. Omnam, nevertheless, lo yochlu kol sifam. You shouldn't go overboard. Don't fill your belly to full capacity. In other words, yes, there's a mitzvah to eat and drink on Rosh Hashanah, but don't forget that it's still the Yom HaDin. Leman lo yakelu rosham. In order that they, you know, they don't get into frivolity, kalot rosh, and the fear of Hashem should be upon you. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch rules that we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and we have to eat and drink and rejoice. But nevertheless, that's tempered by the fact that it still is the Yom HaDin; it's still the Day of Judgment. And there's still so much uncertainty, so don't go overboard, the Shulchan Aruch warns. The Mishnah Berurah explains why is the Shulchan Aruch telling us that we don't fast and we have to eat and drink and celebrate. But Salomar, Afshu Yom HaDin, in other words, he means to say that even though today is the Day of Judgment, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, mitzvah, there is a mitzvah shel v'samachta b'chagecha Shayach Gambo. The mitzvah of Bisamachta Bechagecha, you shall rejoice in your holiday, which applies to the regalim, applies on Rosh Hashanah as well. Rosh Hashanah is also a festival, is also a mitzvah of Simcha. And just another proof or another example here in source number 10, we rule that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim Chashuvim Ki Regalim Levatel HaAvelut. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are considered festivals in terms of nullifying Avelut. The person, Chas V'Shalom, is sitting Shiva. All of a sudden comes along Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah pushes off the Shiva. Rosh Hashanah cancels out the Shiva. The person is in their Shloshim. And just like we say by Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot, that would nullify the Shiva, nullify the Shloshim. Similarly, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they are festive days. The mitzvah of V'samachta B'chagecha applies to Rosh Hashanah as well. Gemara in Moed Katan explains that the simcha of the rabbin, the mitzvah on the community to rejoice, V'samachta B'chagecha, rejoice on the holiday, overrides the mitzvah of the individual to mourn. Okay, that's why we say that a regel, or Rosh Hashanah too, pushes off, or really overrides. It cancels out Avelut, cancels out Shiva, cancels the Shloshim. Why? Because the mitzvah upon the Rabbim, upon the public, upon the Tzibur, the mitzvah upon the community to celebrate, to rejoice, that overrides the mitzvah on the Yachid, on the individual, to mourn. Okay? So there's a mitzvah to celebrate. But again, don't go overboard. And this also is found in the Taz. Taz warns, you know, yeah, celebrate, but don't go overboard. Wear nice clothes, but not the fanciest of clothes, the Taz writes. The Al Kol Panim, Lo Yilbash B'Rosh Hashanah, here I'm reading in source number 9. Al Kol Panim, Lo Yilbash B'Rosh Hashanah, Bigdei Rikma U'Meshi Kibishar Yemin Tovim. Sheyesh Lo Malbushim Yoter Na'im. On Rosh Hashanah, don't wear, you know, clothes, embroidered clothes of silk, your fanciest garments like you would maybe on one of the other regalim. D'mikom makom yeh mora hadin alav. Because nevertheless, while there is a mitzvah of simcha, but you have to have the fear of the judgment, the awe, the dread should be upon you. Ella, rather, yilbosh begadim levanim na'im. Rather, you should wear just nice white garments. Like the Yerushalmi says, we wear white, we wrap ourselves in white. Okay, and he writes this in the name of the Rashal, Shlomo Luria. So, on the one hand, there's a mitzvah of the Samachta Bechagecha, this mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. We're supposed to eat and drink and rejoice, and we're not allowed to fast, and we're not allowed to mourn. But on the other hand, still remember that it is the Yom HaDin. I think the attitude and the approach and the emotional experience of Rosh Hashanah is what the psalmist articulates, Vigilu Birada, rejoice with trembling. I titled the shiur Rosh Hashanah, Rejoice or Tremble. I think the answer is both. Gilu Birada, we are to rejoice with trembling. Yes, dip apples in honey, yes, have a nice meal with family this year. Okay, you can't have a meal with friends this year. It's going to be a little bit different this Rosh Hashanah. But enjoy, enjoy. But nevertheless, don't go overboard. Still remember that it's the Yom HaDin. And it's this very balance. It's this very dialectic. These two conflicting ideas which really express and articulate the theme of Rosh Hashanah, the very essence of the Rosh Hashanah. When we recognize that Hashem is both Avinu and Malkeinu, He's Avinu, He's our Father, right? Let's say Avinu Malkeinu over and over again. We want to relate to Him like a father, like a parent who forgives, who lets things slide, right? I was speaking about tshuva in shul this past Shabbat. I've been looking at tshuva in the thought of Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik has this beautiful essay where Pinchas Peli records a drush of Rav Soloveitchik in the Al HaTshuva, where Rav Soloveitchik, he draws on a verse from Sefer Shmuel, how Shmuel returns home. He returns to his home, and the word that the Navi uses is tshuva, tshuvato. He returns. So I was saying that's really the essence of tshuva, that you can always return home. That's Hashem as Father, and we ask Hashem to relate to us like a father would relate to his children, and accept us, and forgive us, and be merciful upon us. But we also recognize that He's Malkeinu, He's the King. Right? That, yes, we're standing in judgment, we're standing before the King. And when you stand before the King, and when you stand before the King who's your Father, Avinu Malkeinu, there's both fear and dread, but there's also tremendous love. It's tremendous love. I mentioned before the Simani Milta, so there are different explanations as to why we eat these special things. It's already recorded in the Gemara. It's in the Gemara in Masechet Horayot. It's in the Gemara in Masechet Kritut. So the Chochmat Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, and the Shulchan Aruch, he writes the following. There's those who explain that maybe the purpose of eating these special things is to allow you to say that Yehi Ratzon, that special tefillah, before. And so the whole purpose is to engage the Jew in prayer. But he says, Ein hakavana derech tefillah. Here I'm reading from source number 11. Ein hakavana derech tefillah. Dein makom tefillah b'shat achilah. You don't, Shlomo Kluger says, you don't daven while you're eating. Right? You daven before you eat, you daven after you eat, but you don't daven while you're eating. So the purpose of the Simani Milta is not to get us to say these Yehi Ratzons, but rather, Rak ze hevi li bitachon ve'emuna, ki mar'eh shu mamin u'boteach sheken yeh. But rather, it's an expression of our faith and our confidence in Hashem that, yes, this is what's going to be, that we're going to have a happy and healthy, sweet new year. So I'm dipping an apple in honey, and I'm asking Hashem for a sweet new year. And that expresses my confidence that it's going to be a sweet new year. Yeah, Adam Misamech, the Omer Kol Masha, I'm skipping. A person should be happy on Rosh Hashanah. The Omer Kol Masha, Asahu Yidbarach, Havei L'tova, Ubezeh Nefach L'tova. A person should say everything that Hashem does is for the good, and through that it's going to be good. Through that it's going to be good. So even the Simani Milta are an expression of our confidence. And I'll just end with a story that Rosh Shlomo Kalbach used to tell over. So once an individual man gets on a train, New York City, the New York City subway, and all of a sudden he turns and he sees a beautiful woman, and their eyes lock and they share a smile with one another. And he's immediately smitten. He knows this is beshert. This is my zivug. This is destiny. This is fate. She's the one. But before he could muster up the courage to speak to her, the train stops, 34th Street, Herald Square, and the woman gets off the train. Train is packed. It's rush hour. So he tries to make his way to the door in time to talk to her. But ding, the doors close on his nose. And he's banging, but the train pulls off northbound, heading towards 42nd Street, Times Square. And he's schwitzing and he's nervous. As soon as the train stops and the doors open, he jumps out. He pushes his way through the crowd. Let me pass, make way. And he's knocking people down left and right. And he's running up the steps towards the street, knocking everyone down in his way, pushing past, causing a scene, causing a commotion. He gets to the street level. He sees a taxi. There's an older man opening the door, about to get in, pushes the man aside and says, no, you don't understand. I need this taxi. He says to the driver, driver, take me to 34th Street, Herald Square, with haste. But before he could get inside, immediately, there's a slap on his wrist. An officer grabs him and says, buddy, you're coming with me. The man says, no, you don't understand. I have to get to 34th Street. And the officer says, no, you don't understand. You're knocking people down. You're causing disturbance of the peace, commotion. You're coming with me. Puts the cuffs on him, brings him into the squad car, and takes him to central booking. The man spends the night in jail, and he is devastated, depressed, dejected, thinking to himself, will he ever see this woman? He doesn't believe that he'll actually ever get to see her. But this was Bashert, this was fate, this was destiny. He's so upset, so depressed, he doesn't sleep at all. In the morning, they call his name and bring him to stand before the judge, I guess to be arraigned or to have his charges dropped. So they take him into the court, and he's so depressed and he's so devastated and he's so dejected the whole time. He's just staring at his shoes. He's just staring at the tiles of the floor in the courtroom. He hears the gavel bang. They call his name. He's brought up towards the judge. And then finally, when the judge calls his name and says, sir, sir, he lifts up his head and he sees, smiling back at him from behind the bench, the judge is that woman from the subway. So on Rosh Hashanah, we all stand in judgment. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of awe and dread. On Rosh Hashanah, we stand in judgment. But we know the judge. We know the judge. Okay, I'll take any questions, comments. Any questions or comments? Okay, I've unmuted all the microphones. Those of you who've muted yourselves, you can unmute your mics and ask any questions. Okay, no questions. So I'll just wish you all a ketiva v'chatima tova. To you and your families and all of Am Yisrael, it should be an amazing year for you and your families and all of Am Yisrael and the entire world. Take care. We will be meeting Be'ezrat Hashem 1 week from today, next Wednesday morning. Take care.
Thank you very much. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova, all the best.